Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to our open LARIC board meeting. Really honored to have your presence here to support this group. So thank you for being here. First amount of business is going to be the Pledge of Allegiance, done by Donna Brashear.
So should all stand, please? And recite with me. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Donna. A couple of adjustments to the agenda. Minor. The next thing we're going to do is the approval of the last meeting minutes on April 15th. If you look at number 4, it's not going to be the final draft. It's going to be progress update on the one-year plan. And if you look at number 6, the first report is going to be on counseling. The second report is going to be on ESL. And that's all. We will not have a report today on CTE. So that's the changes in the agenda. So at this point, we're approving the minutes of April 15th. I believe there's copies back there if you're interested, so we'll give people a moment to look at them.
I motion to accept the minutes.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. We were having a discussion on the open meeting calendar for the year 16-17. So I'm going to give you a little bit of background on it, and then Veronica's going to discuss some of the issues that we have. So at this point, there's no June meeting for the end of this year and the beginning of next year. There's no July meeting. And then we are looking at determining that all open board meetings will be the second Friday of the month. So Veronica, you had something to say.
That's a change, right?
That's a change from the third Friday of the month.
And my request, actually, I'm hoping that the point people can take the calendar, the proposed calendar, the draft calendar of the second Friday of every month, and then also align it to any reports that we have to do, what's coming up in terms of compliance and regulations, so that we can make sure that our calendar, our meeting dates match decisions that we need to make. So it's more of a request for the point people to do one more thing.
I think that's a good idea, so I think we can all agree that we can
plan. I think we can all agree.
Yes. Just a point of clarification. Yes. So there will be no meeting in June and July starting next June? Or
no, this June there will be no meeting.
And July
starting July 16-17.
There will be no meeting.
No meeting. It doesn't carry on to the next.
So then our next meeting is not July.
August
12th.
Mm-hmm. And that is proposed. The second, and one of the reasons, which is why Veronica is asking for, like, the dates that things are due, is that there's something due, I believe, the 19th
right,
of August.
Line up the
schedule. Yeah. Right. So we're in.
And then the switch from the third to the second, one of the items that came up, Marvin, was that you have meetings regularly scheduled,
yes.
So we wanted to make sure that.
Yes, so thank you. We appreciate that. Really good.
Critical.
It's
hard
to
get
to place
everyone.
It is.
So
unless you go through.
Your redhead was here for you.
So Lance, if you would take that back to the point people?
We'll do. Sure.
And not necessarily like budgetary things, I'd say financial, but things that are actually going to be due in terms of the plan.
Deliverables. Yes.
And my request would be deliverables in any budget items, just so we can see when things happen. Not necessarily that everything is brought before the board and approved, but just so we have that calendar of everything.
Okay. Any other discussion? Okay, that's the charge. Thanks, Brian.
You're welcome.
Next, we're going to have the 16-17 yearly plan progress update by representing the lead people is Joe Stark. And you guys have done a tremendous amount of work on this, I know, so thank you.
We thought you'd like that. Good afternoon, board members. Joe Stark, Los Angeles Unified School District, Division of Adult Career Education. Presenting on behalf of the LARAC Point Persons team, I'm going to be giving an overview of the 16-17 yearly plan, which was originally due on July 31st, 2016. Given overlapping summer breaks of the member districts, the point persons team is basically working to complete the plan by the end of the month, with the exception of some of the data and budget tables, which will be added in July before turning the plan to the state. So the state changed the deadline for the plan last Friday. The new deadline is August 15th, 2016, and so the point persons team is currently working to complete the plan again by the end of the month. As we know, there were some challenges in resolving some of the governance and funding issues, which did cause sort of a bit of a delay in the implementation of the plan. But we feel that there's been a quite significant amount of progress this year. So we look forward to continuing and sort of carrying forward a lot of the work and some of the groundwork that's been done this year into the next year. So we wanted to just sort of touch back on the vision statement and sort of highlight some of those key elements, which I think is important as we move forward, just to sort of remind ourselves a little bit of who we are and some of our key sort of values and ideals as we work on this plan. LARAC educates, enriches, and empowers the people of Los Angeles. The three-year plan, or regional comprehensive plan, and the yearly plans are student-centered, and all LARAC activities are guided by the values implied in the vision statement. So here we have kind of a progression here in terms of the progress of the 15-16 plan and then the 16-17 plan. So with the advent of AB 104, which of course is the Adult Ed Block Grant, the legislature called for yearly implementation plans designed to focus on the activities from the consortium and the regional comprehensive plan to be carried out on a yearly basis. And as part of the process for creating the yearly plan for 16-17, the state did require a review and evaluation of the activities of the previous, of this current year, 15-16. So the plan update includes the amendments to the 15-16 plan, the point persons team proposals for the 16-17 yearly plan by regional comprehensive plan elements and objectives, and the proposed pilot programs, and we're going to hear some progress on that. Very excited to have some of the work group members here this afternoon who are going to give us an update on some of those activities. Input from stakeholders, of course, has been important, gathered through the activities of the work groups, comments from the LARAC website, and through recently conducted surveys, which will be sent out. I think in some cases there's some districts that have sent them out, and so I know LAUSD, those will be going out very shortly. And the results of the survey, of course, will be posted on the LARAC website. So in terms of the 15-16 yearly plan evaluation, we sort of are giving a summary here, not really going too in-depth on each of the objectives, but just showing an overall rating for each of the plan objectives. And so the governance and allocation schedule, of course, are completed. So you can see it marked C there as complete. But the rest of the ratings are given partial, given the fact that, through some of the delays in implementation that we talked about, due to some of the challenges in agreement with governance and funding. So this is sort of an at a glance look at sort of where we are, sort of in progress with these objectives. So the state required,
see if we can get this up. Okay, so it looks like we're having some technical difficulties here.
Sorry.
That's okay. We don't have a document reader probably, but just kind of go over this. This is part of what was presented at the last LARIC board meeting. The state required amendments to the 15-16 plan to be indicated in red, which we did in the report. And so the slide was supposed to show some examples of sort of how that would look on the report. So but sort of in summary, the amendments to the 15-16 plan were in Objective 3, the AEBG Regional Assessment Plan. We were removing a few items from the 15-16 and then adding those items to the 16-17 plan. And those two items in that objective were designing a plan for incremental implementation around common student assessments and creating a professional development plan that supports the pilot programs as well as teaching adult learners. So that was Objective 3. Objective 4, which were key activities addressing gaps, we removed from 15-16 and then added to 16-17, evaluating the implementation, entry, re-entry into the workforce, classes for adults, including older adults. And then we also took from 15-16 and put into 16-17, evaluating the implementing tutoring classes for adults, including older adults. In Objective 6, which was professional development opportunities, that's not this slide, but actually still on the previous one, removing from 15-16 and then adding to 16-17, actually removing from 15-16, there was a PD that was entitled Working Collaboratively, which was a PD that I don't think was developed really, and so we sort of changed that, and we're recommending more sort of broader based PDs across district boundaries. The other change was looking at a LARIC-wide annual conference, so that was one of the elements that we included in the 16-17 plan. In Objective 7, leverage regional existing structures, we removed from 15-16 and then added to 16-17 co-location of work source centers on LARIC campuses and establishment of an education workforce policy and advocacy committee.
I'm sorry, did you say we removed them, or we removed them and added them to
16-17? No, sorry, removing from 15-16 and adding to 16-17. Yeah,
thank you. And for the co-location of the workforce
for centers and establishment of an education workforce policy and advocacy committee. So looking at the 16-17 yearly plan, as I mentioned earlier, virtually all the activities in the 15-16 plan will be continued in 16-17. The sort of, quote, new activities on the 16-17 plan will really be only those that are sort of shifting, as I mentioned, from the 15-16 to the 16-17 because they were not started, not implemented. So upon review of the input from stakeholders, additional changes, of course, are possible, and we know it is a living document. And upon approval, the 16-17 yearly plan will be posted on the LARIC website. Again, the activities on the 16-17 yearly plan are the same as those on the previous year plan. The plan will continue on year two with the implementation of the activities begun in year one. And, of course, it aligns with the strategies outlined in the Regional Comprehensive Plan. And through the activities of the seven work groups and the pilot programs, the 16-17 plan implements the strategies that have been crafted to address the identified gaps in the region. And guided by the results of the pilots, which, of course, will be database decisions, LARIC will scale up best practices, promising practices on year three of implementation. So this graphic sort of represents that process. Okay, that's a blank slide. So
we have a blank slate. We can do
that's right. Very good. Good save. Perfect. Yeah, actually, this was supposed to be the graphic of the sort of concentric circles, right? If you recall, the various districts sort of working harmoniously, right, to make sure our programs are student-centered. As our vision statement notes, programs will be student-centered, data-driven, and focused on best practices. Students will gain 21st century skills, meeting their employment, academic, and civic goals. So that concludes my presentation. Are there any questions?
Thank you. Thank you, Joe. Any questions for Joe? I would like to say that one of the major reasons that the activities were moved from 15-16 to 16-17 had to do with the lateness of getting the monies and the directions from the state. So they were late and caused us to delay in our start. We're just ramping up as fast as we can for 16-17, and we will.
I just like to say, in addition to that, I think when we first started 2 years ago, we were all very ambitious about what we could do in such a short timeline. And Lancey has pushed us all to do that, so we all appreciate that. However, however, we put the brakes on a little bit because we did not want it to be in a plan that we could not complete, and not having the money was part of that issue as well. Mm-hmm. I do have a question. Do you want to comment on that? I have a question for Joe.
You can ask
a
question.
So in 15-16, we removed establishing workforce and advocacy committee and added it to 16-17. I don't know if that's for Joe or Lancey. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Either one. Yes.
Yeah, Lancey, do you want to take that one?
Yes, of course. Yes, we did remove it from 15-16.
Okay, so the 16-17 LARIC annual conference, mm-hmm. is that new, or was that something we planned in 15-16 and are adding and moving to 16-17, or is that a new idea?
The latter that you mentioned. So mm-hmm. it was originally scheduled or set into 15-16 plan. We didn't get to it. Mainly because of budgetary issues, but then that was moved to 16-17.
I would just like to say that in my absence, I really think that's important when you all move forward. but I think that is something that we need to do, because when LAUSD did our symposium in November, I believe it
that's
was,
correct.
Many of your other districts came to that as well, but it was enlightening, I believe, for the teachers, and maybe some of our teachers that are here can comment on that, just to hear, because we hear it here and some people hear it here, but it's just important, I think, and it would be great to bring all the teams together. So I am very much in support of that.
And I think the only thing that I'd like to say about the stuff that we have on the plan to the audience and then for ourselves, right, and all the work groups, is to be careful to be that we implement the pilots that we're implementing, and that we actually look at them with integrity and not try to push things through to have data points that are not going to serve us, that we really want to do them well and do them right. And I just, as an example, one of the pilots that we had with Culver City was we purchased some software through AFSEC, and I know that it's going to be partly in the plan, mm-hmm. but by the time you get this stuff, and by the time people get trained, and by the, you know, so we're now, that plan that we had to have data by the end of this year is not there. Mm-hmm. So, but we have the plan moving forward into the next year to roll it out, to actually be able to capture real data for what works and what doesn't work. Does that make sense? So I just want us to be careful about the pilots that we implement and how we implement things and do them well, so we have strong data as opposed to try to rush things through and have poor data.
Thank you, Monica. Anything else? A little housekeeping. I wanted to thank the people who helped make this happen. Amy, Timo, and Leonard, who came and helped us get the set up. I also want you to know that Craig Lee is taking minutes for today.
Ms. Brenzel, another change to the agenda, if I may. Our presenter for the next activity is not here yet. She's on her way. She has texted me to let me know that. Can we go on to the next one, please? Thank you.
Thank you, Nancy. So we're going to go on to the work group's presentation, and the first one to present is going to be Janisha Haselberger for the Counseling SMEs. Janisha, thank you. Good morning. Good afternoon. What did I say? SMEs? SMEs is what?
Subject
matter experts. Or the guy that works on Peter Pan with the pirates. Yeah, it's me. Yeah. But ours are much better. And they do a lot of work, and they bring us the really important together with all of our teams, all of the staff members, and all of the different districts. So we're looking at serving. All of this is in an effort to serve our student population the best we can. They work very hard, so thank you, Janisha.
All right. Good afternoon, everybody on the board. Thank you for having me today, and also to the people who have come to share this experience with us. My name is Janisha Haselberger. I'm an advisor at East Los Angeles Skills Center, East Los Angeles service area. I work with specially funded programs as well as academic program there. So I'm here to report on what the counseling work group has been working on. We started out, I believe, in February. Our focus is mainly on providing comprehensive support to students. So that's our primary goal. So we have 9 committed members from all the school districts: Burbank Unified, Culver City, Los Angeles Community College District, Los Angeles Unified School District, and Montebello Unified. So all of these members have been able to attend every single meeting, which is really great because we've had really, really strong support, and everybody has been on board and kind of keeping up with what's going on every single meeting, so we're not spending a lot of time doing that in the beginning. So that's been really, really positive. We've had 4 very productive meetings so far. We have a couple more planned. Our main focus, again, is helping students overcome barriers to these transitions. So their transition maybe to higher education, to the workforce, those are the main 2, but our goal is to help make those transitions smoother, create those bridges and pathways that we've all been talking about. So our that is our mission and our focus, but our working goal right now is to produce a draft of an individualized student plan. We feel that having a plan, sort of something that's tangible that both students and counselors can work with, look at, review, continue to add to, is going to really help with those transitions. So let's take a look at what we've got so far. So I know these images are a little bit small, but I wanted to kind of give you a sense of what it looks like. Ultimately, we would really like this to be web-based so that it's very easily accessible by students as well as counselors, whether it's a counselor at an adult school or at the community college level or in another organization or capacity. The first page is mostly demographic information. It also includes some things about their background in terms of their diploma status. They may have a diploma from another country, which we would like to know about. That gives us more information so that we can provide services or sort of give them better guidance. We'd also like to know if they have a foreign college degree. We find that a lot of our students actually do have pretty extensive academic background from their home countries, and that can really provide a lot of information to us so that we can better guide them. They can perhaps work through the ESL program a little bit more quickly, or just so we kind of know where they're coming from. The other thing we want to know about are some additional status measures. These things are identified and recorded by the CASAS and WIOA program, so we wanted to include that. There are some additional things like I can barely read this myself, so bear with me here. It might be things like first-generation college student. So the community colleges have specific programs like EOPNS that works with first-generation college students. We also have specific programs for veterans. I know that's a program that I work with at my adult school. And the community colleges also have specific programs for veterans. So these are some of the data that we want to capture in the beginning so that we can provide services and provide appropriate referrals. The other things are, the main thing is their goal. So what is their educational goal, or is there another goal that they're pursuing? So it might be something like increasing community involvement, so just getting back into the community in a classroom, you know, working, building relationships with other people that they, their other neighbors. Or it could be something very specific, like obtaining a high school equivalency certificate, entering post-secondary education, improving language skills, all of these sorts of things. We want to know that from the very beginning, so again, we can provide appropriate referrals and help them get on their path to their goals. So the second part, after we've established all of that information, is to look at where the student stands now. What are their academic skills? What are their learning styles, their career interests, all of those sorts of things. So we have an assessment portion. Again, that's something we want to record and know from the beginning so that we can guide them. So we have some spaces here to record those assessments, but because each campus or each school district, the community colleges versus adult schools, are going to be using different assessments, we wanted to leave that open. So you don't see specific names of assessments. We just have kind of a blank space, but we wanted to make sure that that's getting recorded you know, in the same place. Also, official scores for things like HiSET or TASC or GED, the high school equivalency, may be important for college degrees and also for career programs. So we have a specific section for that. And then the high school diploma requirements. These are set by, I believe, the California Department of Ed. So those would be appropriate if they're pursuing a high school diploma through a community college or through any of our adult school programs. And we've also left some extra space for additional coursework that is specific to that school district. And then their plan afterward, if they're interested in a post-secondary program, we want to write what school they want to go to and what that program name is. So. This is what we have so far. Like I said, we're still working on this. The next step would probably be two more pages, one for CTE programs and then one specifically for post-secondary. So it'd be have a little bit more detailed information for those goals. So are there any questions?
You both have board meetings. You've accomplished a great deal.
Thank you.
Are there any questions?
Yeah, I want to ask you a question, but you talked about that you're trying to determine how a student's goal.
Right.
So, are you using any particular instrument to help the student figure out what their goal is? How are you doing that?
A lot of that happens through conversation. So, when students meet with a counselor or with someone in our counseling department, we just ask them very directly, what are your goals? What are you looking at? We're also looking into some other instruments, like there's one, I'm forgetting the name of it. I believe it's called Career Cruising.
Career Cruising.
Yeah, which is a tool we'd like to begin using in Los Angeles Unified School District, but I believe some of the other districts are already using it and finding it very effective at helping students identify career paths.
I'm sure a lot of students will say, I don't know.
Exactly.
Right, so wondering if you're using any particular instrument. So the other question I wanted to ask you, so is the goal the same thing as a major? Are you trying to figure out what their major eventually will become?
They might be the same thing, but they might be different. A major would be more appropriate for a post-secondary, like associate's degree or bachelor's degree, but their major might be, or their goal might be to do something a little bit quicker, a little bit shorter, so it might be vocational programs. So you know, we want to help them identify kind of what their long-term goal is as well as their short-term goal.
Because I think that one thing to think about is as you're meeting with students, and if a student is going to start in an adult and eventually they tell you, well, my goal is to eventually get an AA degree or get a bachelor's, so why wouldn't we want to think about a major? Mm-hmm. No, because I think that would certainly put them on a pathway if they already have an idea and they have but I'm trying to see how you don't get them off stride, but you could put them on a pathway so they don't take all these classes that they don't need to take. But they, you know, that's always a challenge for us, and I think one of the reasons the legislature has really clamped down the community colleges because they don't want students just exploring and spend many years at the college right. level figuring out where they're going to go. So, you know, if the goal eventually for some of the students to start the adulthood program to go to college, I'm just thinking maybe you might want to think about majors.
Yeah, isn't that, my understanding is where it says the last thing that screens is planned post-secondary program, school name, and program name.
Right.
I guess the way I interpreted program name because it's post-secondary was kind of was the idea of a major.
Right.
But that's actually what I thought you meant by that.
Yeah,
because it's referring to post-secondary specifically.
Right, your interpretation is correct. That was our intention there.
So maybe it's program name slash major.
Or mm-hmm.
Yeah,
perhaps changing the language would help students mm-hmm. kind of focus on, oh, I guess I do need to define a major. I need to, you know, kind of say what it is out loud and put it down on paper somewhere. So, yeah, that's a good suggestion.
Marvin, thank you for that input, because I think there's at least a couple people here from the from this committee, from the counseling committee, and they can take it back and they can, you know, look, take a look at that and how they can add that.
Definitely.
Yeah,
I've got some other comments here. Thank you for coming this afternoon, by the way. The first one I have is, I'm going to be as diplomatic as I can here. adult education needs to get into the 21st century. We must have this online. This has got to be a writable PDF. I walked into a situation, everything was paper intensive, and frankly, I couldn't believe it. So it's really important for sharing purposes from one school and one district to the other that this be in a format that counselors from one district to the other can share, that this can be actually shared with community colleges once that student transfers over, if they go to East LA, that then that can follow them over to East LA and facilitate communication with that counselor. The other is... What is the goal here? Is the goal for counselors to see each student each year? Has that been discussed? How is this going to be done?
So implementation of this individualized student plan is going to be a little bit specific to the program and the community that the counselors are working with. But ideally, we want to be seeing students at multiple stages through this process. So I would say in the beginning, perhaps after they complete a course, let's review, you know, where they're at, what their goal is, all that sort of thing. I mean, that's something that I personally already do with students who are completing the high school diploma program. So every time they finish a course, I meet with them and say, okay, you have this many courses left. You know, when are you going to take these? Let's kind of develop a plan for, you know, completing that whole program. And
so
then what is your next step?
That's still in discussion with the group?
Yeah, it's still in discussion. Yeah, it's definitely something that we talked about at our last meeting is how are we really going to be implementing this once we create it? And you make a great point about making it a PDF file. That's also something that has been talked about. How is this going to be? Ultimately, we want it to be digitized. We want, you know, everyone to have very easy access to it, especially the student, so they can refer to it regularly.
If I may add to that.
One second. Donna?
Sorry.
I have a question. First of all, we all know that, or if you don't know, this is one of our greatest yep. goals in our plan. So greatest meaning best for the student mm-hmm. and most important mm-hmm. for the transition through the school system, all the school system. And following a career pathway, and that's where my question comes in. Mm-hmm. Has the work group, have you had conversations about the career pathways? Where does that come in? Or because the career pathway is the educational pathway into career through through our system, the community college system, the university system, or to the job, whichever comes first.
Right.
Does that play into this form, or is that going to, I may have missed that part, because I can't.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. So we do, on the very first page, we have a student goals portion. Again, I apologize, it's a little difficult to read. But one of the options is obtain employment, CTE vocational training, and then enter post-secondary education. So we're having that conversation right from the beginning about careers. But these are just the first sort of two sections of this individualized student plan. Our next step is to work on career and technical education portion, as well as post-secondary. So that's kind of the next step that we haven't delved into very deeply yet.
So I would like to suggest, and you may already be doing this, that the group discuss that discussion start with you're coming in as ESL with no English language, let's start taking that,
right,
and what you need to do to reach that goal. So there would be a specific, you're going to go from level ESL level 1 to level 6, or whatever that may be, to your ABE classes, to your high school diploma classes, to the community college, whatever that would be, and then it picks up there and goes through, so that no matter what level they begin, that they know what their entire pathway is. So that means our counselors have to work with their partner community college, which is in Los Angeles Unified. Los Angeles Community College District, so that our counselors and your counselors are working together, so that in the beginning we know what they may need, but it, as you said, to follow it along,
right,
at specific intervals, so
right,
which will be determined. So that's just a suggestion that I would like to make.
Amelia, we have several things. Did you cover all those things when you?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Sorry.
Amelia.
Okay. So, I always try to look at things from a student perspective, because my thought is if I don't, then we're not going to be successful. A student that is entering in at the literacy level, have we thought about creating this form in Spanish or in Armenian, so that, because the critical piece, something you said I really agree with, is that conversación, that conversation.
Yeah.
Because they're very intimidated. They're going to be very intimidated. You have to lower that affective filter. And I think that if we created this form in Spanish, then it's something they're going to be a little more comfortable with, or if it's in Armenian or whatever the primary languages are of the population served, then it really creates that piece for having a conversation, especially on something like this. Because if we approach it from very formulaically, then what's going to happen is they're going to shut down at some point, and the conversation isn't going to work. I'm really interested in the timeline here. Is the thought that this start to be rolled out in the fall? Because I'd like to, at least in my mind, the discussion so that this is rolled out systemically across the consortium, and not somebody just kind of on their own flying by the seat of their pants.
You mean implementing the use of this form?
Mm-hmm.
I think implementing it in 2016, 2017 is actually very doable. I think that's a very reasonable goal. Obviously, I'm just one member of nine in this group, so I think that would be something that would definitely be worth discussing at our next meeting. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So, just a couple of things. One, I guess, for a literacy student, I'm seeing this more as something that counselors fill out as they're talking with students, that they're not handed this form and students fill it out. Is that accurate, kind of, sort of?
There's a second part to it. So we do have an ESL form that was created that we've sort of been working with a little bit, that, for lack of a better term, is a little bit more user-friendly. and maybe would look a little bit friendlier to someone who's in starting out the literacy program. So that may be something that we might implement in lieu of the very first page. It has identical information, but would maybe be more appropriate for a literacy student. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and then the other piece to that,
okay. Can I clarify something on that response? So your question, what I understood from your question is that I think the question is, or I'd like to know, if when you meet with a student, you're going to be having a conversation, which I think he alluded to also, instead of just giving them the form.
Right.
And that's a part of our plan, right, that this change, that this practice be changed. Because our practice is, you come in, or most of us,
yeah,
speaking for not everyone, that you come in and it's like, here's a form, what do you want? You want to take class? Okay, fill it out. But the practice becomes that we have counselors and teacher advisors or whatever they're called in each district that sits with the student to help that student through the process.
Right. Right. I guess I'm thinking like the top demographic name, your birthday, your gender, your address, that piece would be easily completed by the student, but anything below that really is a conversation. If you're truly counseling and guiding students, it's a conversation for them, I think. And even when you get to the goals, you're kind of talking with them about, because if it's just something they're checking off, I don't know that they understand completely what those goals mean. The other thing that I think might work, because I think that making it a PDF, anything that you create one time and you can't change, this is not going to work. We need a fluid document that can be updated. So one idea I thought about where you have the educational goals or other, if there's a line for the date for that goal, so that maybe that's their initial goal on that date. Right, but then as they come back again, now my new goal is, you know, my initial thing is, okay, I just want to get through ABE, mm-hmm. but my ultimate goal is a high school diploma. So next to the ABE, whatever, I have that thing, and then now I'm coming back. I'm meeting with the counselor, and I finish those things, and I'm so excited, and I get to add, you know, this next date is, you know, when we talked about the high school diploma date, or mm-hmm. when we go to the career tech. And whether it's going to the community college or one of the adult schools. But having it be a document that we can continue to modify as students change in terms of, I mean, just in terms of their address changing and also their goals or as they expand. And I think that would be it adds a little piece of making it really a fluid document.
Right. That's a really good point of to date each portion of this. I think that makes a lot of sense. As far as it being exchanged through different offices, we can definitely do it through a PDF. This is just sort of the tech side of it. But having it digitized immediately to implement for this coming school year, that may be a little bit more of a challenge. And
Google Docs.
Yeah, all of these are Google Docs, and I've thought about perhaps creating this as a Google form,
right,
could use immediately, and students could access from their phone, and you know that would be very simple to do.
And then it's so easy to share.
Right. We just share the link, basically.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I want to echo that the dates are really important, as we counsel every high school student mm-hmm. at this point. And the dates are just really crucial in terms of going back to see where they were at that point and what you said and what they said. But also, we have, like, the counsel every high school student, but looking at rolling out counseling the other programs, the next on our radar is going to be CT, all the CT counseling in the same fashion, and then looking at how we can bring ESL aboard, too. But the goal is, I think, for all of us, is what the community college has kind of led the way, and that's individual plan, education plan for every student that we see on a regular basis. So that's really important work. Donna?
Yeah, I just like to caution when we talked about timelines that I think Emilio asked if this was going to be implemented in the fall. That seems to me to be a little ambitious to, and referring back to what Veronica said earlier about the quality of what we do with the pilots. So this being one of the, for our district, one of the parts of the plan that is being most scrutinized by our board. So I think that I'd just like to say when it's rolled out, I think we don't need to rush it. We need to make sure that it's embedded and it's what we need it to be to help the students. And yes, I know it will change and that, you know, this is something new and that it's going to change, but I think if we're not having a meeting in June and July, the work groups can meet, of course, in June and July, but how realistic is that people will be able to, with the ending of school and summer school or not having summer school across the five districts. So I just think that the work group needs to be aware of that, to keep that in mind, that we need to make sure it moves when we start it.
Any other comments? Thank you, Janice.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you so much. I'm excited.
Yeah, this is very exciting. Thank you.
It's all right.
Don't worry.
The next presentation is by the ESL subject matter experts, and representing the ESL committee is Dave Coleman and Cindy Diaz.
Someone could probably help you with that, Dave. Step, someone will take it off your camera.
Wow, you're published.
So we want to give you a synopsis of what we've been working on. Just take it off of here.
It's not usual that they make it taller for me.
I can orient them.
Okay.
Sir?
I think so. Okay. This is our draft year-end summary because the year is not quite over yet. But this is where we are at this point, just without too much elaboration, and we will file a report at the end of the year. And so our team is made up of six people from Burbank, Culver City, LA Unified, Montebello, and four of us are here today.
Yay!
Four? Five.
Kathy in the middle, Rita in the middle, and us. Everyone's here except for Leah, I believe.
Yeah, and Leah couldn't be here. She teaches in community college. We've been working very well together in collaboration, more and more in agreement and towards our common goals as the work progresses. We've had 9 meetings since January, about twice a month. We have 3-hour meetings that are always consistent in the same place. So we can meet there and not have to worry about traffic. So.
Excuse me real quick. Mm-hmm. Just an orientation about what you have. You probably figured it out. There is a PowerPoint, so if you want to grab that first, and we'll refer to the 2 other pieces as we go.
All right, these are our adapted goals for the year. Why did I say 1-1-1? They're all equally important. All number one. Okay, our goal is to recommend a common comprehensive ESL assessment system for all K-12 adult education member districts, which later would be considered by the community college districts. For consolidation. Then streamline testing at all points of transition. We'll get into that in a little bit what that means. Develop a cross-reference, a crosswalk of assessment tools to transfer from the ESL program to other programs and on to community college. Oops, that's the wrong thing. Oh, okay. It is the right thing, it's just in the wrong place. The testing at different points referred to placement testing. Looks so beautifully beautiful. Formative testing and promotional or summative test. Let's see if this works, right? Okay. Our research, which was extensive, included all of these elements. Second language acquisition theory, language assessment theory and studies, types of assessments. We had commercial assessment vendor presentations. We researched our different assessment practices among our own groups, and we went outside our own groups to see what others were doing, especially in the other community college districts. We have a notebook full of the research, and we will present it to the board on the end of the school year. So, number one, assessment practices. This is an example here of the four K-12 adult district comparisons of different testing types of placement.
You're
and now,
blue.
Yes.
You want to look at it. The blue is placement, the red is promotion, or initial and summative.
You'll notice that we've included not only our own districts, but this has other districts, the ones that we research as well. So this is up here on the PowerPoint just an example, but this is more extensive. The chart is pretty particular in what each test contains or what elements there are, and notes on how the testing is done at intake and promotion. And other details there. So as you can see, there's quite a wide variety among our own districts as well as other outside districts. We were faced with quite a task. This is an enormous lot of information, and we had to wheel through all of it. We had these as our guiding principles. And we'll discuss the principles of assessment in just a moment. We can base our decisions on the research and the data. What we really needed to consider with all of this is what was practical versus the comprehensiveness of the assessment.
This is also enlarged in your packets. With the school district.
Okay. So these are the five principles of assessment. And as Dave said, there's a chart. All right. There's a chart that explains the different elements in more detail, but just generally and simply, the practicality is considering the time, the cost, the ease of testing and scoring. Reliability speaks to, is it consistent and does it get dependent results? And validity, does the test what it's supposed to test? Are the results appropriate, meaningful, useful? How does the student feel about the test? Authenticity talks about the task or language likely to be used in the real world, and wash back what effect does the assessment have on the students. So now this chart explains a little more thoroughly and how we, on one side is the explanation, on the other side with a little plus mark and minus mark means the positives and negatives to each type of test. So if you look at that, you can see the oral speaking test has a lot of practicality, but and little reliability because it's given in many different ways at different locations, and maybe not even the same questions are used. So that we can, we'll get to later, but we may want to use that, but make it standardized throughout our member district, and make it consistent in how we train people how to use it.
Just a quick note too, Cindy, you'll see some empty columns. Those are very technical. We didn't feel we had the time or knowledge base or the doctorate to do those, so that's why those are empty. We focus mainly on that validity is the main idea there, and we really try to focus on the first two, especially content validity.
So you can see for standardized reading tests and listening, there are a lot of positives. The negative could include some types of validity on the test. For example, some tests being given too often and not enough different versions so that students can memorize test questions, and that compromises the test. And we also look at other different elements, reading prose, grammar, and writing.
Anything else you want to say about that?
Did you have any questions about that? There's a lot going on in that.
I just have to go back. Okay, who's working on their doctorate in research? Somebody had to help with all that.
We developed this as a team, and I'm going to stick to that. We all have our strengths, and we do work very well together. We balance each other out. So these are things that we need to consider. Language assessment, according to the research, has to serve multiple purposes. It has to measure progress toward the language development and the student's own goals. It has to align with the instructional competencies and the course outlines. It has to meet legislative mandates of WIO, which requires standardized testing, topless testing. And there are more considerations. So we had a lot to consider here. Traditional versus traditional standardized versus performance-based alternative assessments. Required assessments and additional assessments that would be more what's